There are 7.5 billion people in this world, driving over 1.5 billion vehicles. 363 million of those vehicles are commercial. These vehicles are transporting people, goods, and services that all do their part to keep the world in motion. From the most populous of places on Earth to the most remote places only accessible during the right conditions. It is not often that we realize how much everyone and everything is constantly in motion until it stops. When it stops, that is where we come in. To grab, pull, push, winch, hoist, jump, unstick, unlock, or just plain maneuver you out of the mess you found yourself in. Some would call us drivers, operators, first responders, or essential workers. But I like to think of us as heroes from the ditch.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. So we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. When boredom overtook us, he began to speak. Those are the opening lines of The Gambler, released November 1st, 1978. Now, I understand I am no Kenny Rogers. This voice may be okay for radio and podcasting, but the bottom of my tune-carrying bucket fell out a long time ago. I began humming this tune recently and thinking about some of the crazy things that I've been asked to do with a tow truck. I've gambled with my career, my clients' equipment, my company's reputation, my life, and the lives of those around me. It seems that when something needs to be winched, rolled, towed, transported, or lifted, my ego sometimes steps ahead of planning and wisdom. It's difficult to walk away when presented with an opportunity for success and acknowledgement. But when failure lurks within the darkness, its signs are often overlooked as we hope for the best and say, "I'm just going to send it," when we should have run. I remember towing mobile homes, not RVs, but double-wide house trailers. I have towed combines that are 14 feet wide. I've towed in wrecked trailers that were too tall to fit under local overpasses. I've lifted and towed trucks that are in excess of 140,000 pounds. Please understand, none of this is to brag. I bring them up because, as I was mumbling those carefully crafted words of Kenny Rogers, "The secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep, because every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser." I was considering how wrong each of those jobs could have gone and what the consequences would have been if any one of them had been a loser and not a winner. Let's consider the possibilities that surround what is at stake when we load our trucks heavy, long, wide, and tall. And for a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. Overdimensional transport is a niche market that is specialized in every way. We see superloads moving along the highways supported by hundreds of tires. Each tire is responsible for carrying a specific percentage of the load's weight. The heaviest loads hauled in the United States have weighed upwards of 800,000 pounds. In comparison, hooking the steering axle of a 70,000-pound concrete mixer to the underlift of a heavy-duty wrecker seems like a light-duty tow. But consider the implications of loading a heavy-duty wrecker's drive axle suspension with that casualty in tow. An example of a well-proportioned 50-ton wrecker has an unladen steering axle weight of 13,100 pounds when its pusher axle is properly adjusted. The Tritium carries a total of 34,500 pounds. Combined, this wrecker has a static weight of 47,600 pounds. After calculating the tow capacity of this wrecker, we find that a maximum weight of 17,160 pounds can be placed on the underlift with 159 inches of overhang, and it still retains half of its original front axle weight. When that lift and tow procedure has been executed, the force on the wrecker's three rear axles is 58,210 pounds. This calculation was accomplished by knowing the wrecker's steering axle weight, its wheelbase, and the overhang distance from the rear pivot point to the center of the underlift. Knowing how to make this calculation will provide an operator with the benefit to know how much weight is left on the steering axle to properly steer and slow down the combination vehicle. But it does reveal a truth that cannot be ignored. How much load is on the wrecker suspension? This includes its tires, its wheels, axles, bearings, and more. I know from experience that the 58,210 pounds that I referenced to a moment ago isn't distributed evenly across each axle. The rearmost axle on a wrecker will be carrying a higher percentage of the load. This is evidenced by the fact that the tires on the rearmost axle wear faster than those ahead of them. The rear drive axle commonly carries a minimum of 15% more of the weight than the other two in a tandem or triaxle configuration. This is because of the way a wrecker carries weight behind the axles as opposed to a semi-tractor coupled to a trailer. In the case of the semi, the trailer's weight is bearing down directly and most times evenly across the drive axles. Understanding the mechanics of how a wrecker's suspension is loaded should reinforce the fact that regular brake inspections, tire rotation, and preventative maintenance of the vehicle is required, especially for the rear axles and all of their components. The informed operator should always be aware that regardless of the class and size wrecker you operate, when towing with a wheel lift or underlift, the truck's rear suspension will almost always be overloaded with respect to its axle weight ratings before more than 50% of its steering axle weight has been transferred to the rear. Loading your wrecker up to and beyond its capacity for towing has implications that go beyond wear and tear on your equipment. Always stopping safely requires that you have the means to do so. We've identified that the tow truck's axle weight ratings can be easily exceeded when towing at or near calculated tow capacity. It's important to understand that these ratings are there for a reason. The axles themselves and the connected hardware are designed to carry, accelerate, and stop a certain amount of weight. Therefore, Wreckmaster's position is to install a remote braking device when towing a heavy casualty, such as a loaded commercial vehicle. The weight remains on the tow truck, and that isn't avoidable. But the braking effort is now shared between the wrecker and the casualty. The Brake Buddy is a great device to help stop the air brake-equipped casualty commercial vehicle that is in tow. Additionally, an operator who has been trained and certified in air brakes will have the knowledge to enable the casualty's service brakes by interrupting the control circuit to its service brake relay valve and then connect it to your wrecker's trailer service air hose. When overweight conditions are present, it is up to the operator to make the decision that is going to make it possible for him and those around him to go home safely at the end of the call. This means leaving plenty of stopping distance and having adequate brakes on the combination vehicle. Over-width transport is defined as any load being transported or vehicle that is wider than 8.5 feet or 102 inches. Day-to-day towing and transport within our industry is mostly filled with moving vehicles and loads that fall within that maximum dimension. However, anybody who's been in this business long enough knows that the day-to-day also includes some exceptions to normal. After cleaning up a wreck, the casualty in tow may not be 8.5 feet wide anymore. Damage to the vehicle may cause it to track sideways that could cause it to be over width. A load may have shifted, causing it to be wider than normal. What about the case when your best friend calls you? After normal business hours, he knows you park your rollback at home and then he asks you to transport that new pre-manufactured outbuilding that he's just bought so he can make his wife a she shed. We'll consider when a potential client calls requesting a house trailer to be moved. You've got to know that they've already Googled house trailer towing and found that it's too expensive for them to hire a toter company. So they called their buddy at the tow yard. Knowing we're all kind and good-natured people who live for a challenge, they might try to talk you into it. So if you find yourself in a situation where something is loaded on your carrier or trailer, or it's coupled to your wrecker, and you're now wider than 102 inches, you're legally required to obtain a permit and follow proper safety protocols. The only exception to this is granted to U.S. carriers under FMCSA 390.23 when responding to local emergencies and only during the duration of the emergency. So following a traffic incident where you've responded at the request of the police, you can move something that's over width back to your tow yard without a permit as an exception to federal law. Once it's there, moving it again without a permit is in violation unless you make it 8.5 feet wide or less. When choosing to tow or transport something that's over width from a collision site, the informed operator will ensure that the safety of himself and the public is taken seriously. If narrowing the casualty to 8.5 feet or less isn't an option, consider adding escort vehicles in front of and behind the wide load while towing it back to the tow yard. Radio communication between these vehicles can help provide an added degree of safety and inform everybody in the convoy of obstacles and opportunities for collision. And then they can warn the other road users of the upcoming overdimensional load. Well, late one Saturday evening, the driver of a car carrier, a parking lot in CB terms, suddenly lost his headlights. The fuse in the circuit blew and he didn't have a spare. So to get back underway quickly, he climbed up to the top deck of the truck and turned on the headlights of the first car on the load. He took off and was happy to be back on the road. After several miles of driving without encountering oncoming traffic, he saw a pair of headlights out in the distance. As his truck and the approaching vehicle got closer, he noticed that the one headed his way was swerving into the ditch. When they met, the car was completely off of the road and became stuck in the mud, so the trucker stopped his rig and then ran to the car to see if he could help. The driver of that car said, "If you were as wide as you were tall, I knew you'd need the whole road." Well, that silly bit of trucker lore brings us to the next class of overdimensional towing and transport, overheight. Not all overheight collisions occur with loaded vehicles. In a time when the Holmes 750 was the mainstay of the heavy-duty fleet, raising the booms was required to tow casualties such as reefer trailers and drill rigs. I'm familiar with a case where one of these odd casualties was towed behind a 750, and it made it safely to its destination. But once the delivery was made, the operator didn't lower the booms. When he encountered a low-clearance railroad bridge, an impact resulted in catastrophic damage to the booms and supporting cables. The operator had been focused on getting the tow job done safely, and once delivered, he let down his guard, but not his booms. You may think this doesn't matter anymore because the mechanical units aren't as prevalent as they once were, but I beg to differ. Today's rotator wreckers are massive pieces of equipment. The boom height can be difficult to judge while standing at the rear of the truck. There have been a number of times that I've backed one of my rotators inside a bay and noticed just how close the head of the boom is to the 14-foot tall upper door header. Imagine the devastating damage that could be caused if a 13-foot tall boom comes into contact with a 12-foot tall bridge. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage could occur, maybe more. So become familiar with the height of your wrecker and with the boom at several various degrees so that you'll know what your height clearance is at all times. Some of the costliest collisions that are occurring today are when the load that's being carried or the vehicle itself strikes a bridge. These costs aren't just measured in dollars to repair the vehicle that caused the damage. They include repair or replacement costs to what was hit. Also consider the cost for impacting traffic. A collision with an interstate bridge can result in closure of a highway for weeks or months. Imagine the congestion after a minor fender bender that is cleared up in 30 to 60 minutes on a busy interstate. Now multiply those over weeks. Slowing the delivery of interstate commerce is measured in billions of dollars. And what about the human cost? Other motorists could be directly impacted when an overheight collision occurs. A bridge strike recently cost a motorist her life when falling debris, a result of an excavator boom striking a bridge, landed in her automobile, killing her. Tow companies are increasingly expanding into the specialized transport market. Transporting items such as forklifts, excavators, man lifts, and backhoes on carriers and trailers is becoming routine in today's tow company operations. Operators need to be aware of the dangers they face and the consequences of a collision when transporting tall items. The maximum height for a vehicle on U.S. roads is going to vary by region. Typically, the maximum height east of the Mississippi River is 13 foot 6 inches. But that doesn't mean every route is passable at this height. Knowing your route and the clearances on that route is the responsibility of you, the operator. More importantly, is the basic knowledge of how tall is the vehicle and its load combined. There's an expression that says, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that if we don't know how tall the vehicle is, we won't have a problem, or the consequences won't apply. Well, gambling with a blind hand is simply negligence in the eyes of the law, and there's no excuse for it. This isn't just a case with being 13 and a half feet or taller. Low clearance obstructions include parking structures, airports, underpasses, and tunnels, and can have height clearances as low as 10 feet, some even less. Imagine driving into a parking garage in a carefree manner to load a disabled vehicle and then being jolted into reality when the light bar impacts a concrete precast beam. Think about the whiplash you'd feel if the box truck you're towing strikes the roof of a 12-foot tall tunnel entrance. Consider the cost of repairing a concrete mixer after its loading chute and drum strike an obstacle. And place yourself in the shoes of someone responsible for causing the death of an innocent motorist because you failed to be accountable for the height of your load and the route you chose to travel. Preventing an overheight collision is 100% avoidable. It begins with knowing exactly how tall the overall height of your vehicle plus its cargo or towed casualty is. While a tape measure isn't the easiest tool to measure vertical height, it's certainly the cheapest and most accessible. Every tow truck carrier and truck capable of pulling a trailer should have at least a 16-foot tape measure. One with a wider tape will help it stand freely as you raise it to the tallest part of the load. Another tool that I highly recommend is a height stick. This is a telescoping measuring device that allows an operator to easily measure the overall height of the vehicle and the load. This could be a money and life-saving device. It's well worth the investment. Knowing your route and the clearance on that route will also prevent overheight collisions. I recommend doing a survey of all low-clearance obstacles on routes in your area. Start by making a list of these and their exact clearances that are within the immediate coverage area. A motor carrier's road atlas can be helpful with this. Refer to your state or province's transportation website. Most of them will have listings of low-clearance obstacles on their highway routes. Knowing how tall your vehicle is and the clearance obstacles on your route is a must for any operator engaging in towing and transport. Well, the final dimension that we should discuss is over length. I'd like you to consider that what may be a suitable length for on-highway service may not be appropriate for all environments. Those of you who have operated a tractor and 53-foot sliding axle trailer know that you'd better swing wide if you're going to make it around tight corners. The long wheelbase of the trailer makes it difficult to negotiate some curves, even in the roadway. Proper setup for cornering and making turns at intersections often means taking an extra lane to avoid putting the rear of the trailer in the ditch or on the curb. The driver's attitude is of utmost importance in this setting. Consider your mindset when you're sitting at a stoplight in a busy intersection. As the light remains red, you survey the intersection and see impatient motorists on all sides. You can tell that you're going to need a wide berth to make it through. It is in these moments that patience is going to be tested and your actions are going to be observed by many. Proper setup for right-hand turns prior to arriving at the intersection is important. Consider rolling slowly towards the intersection several hundred feet before you arrive. Allow traffic on your left to clear, then position your long combination vehicle in two lanes. This will allow you to swing wider to the right, but will indeed block traffic temporarily. You have to understand that the motorists behind you will not be pleased with this, and you must be mentally prepared to deal with the consequences. The second benefit to this setup is to prevent someone from driving into a blind spot to the right of you while you're turning. We'd like to think that motorists out there are observant and able to understand the difficulties of negotiating tight turns with long vehicles, but they just aren't. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're going to have to swing wide, protect your interests and those of the people around you by proceeding slowly and carefully and avoid all obstructions, even those that may sneak up in a blind spot. I hope that you can see the wisdom in these words of Kenny Rogers. If you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. The towing and recovery industry is full of unique challenges. Most of them can be overcome with training, planning, and practice. Above all of that is your attitude. Each decision can be a winner or a loser. Sometimes the best play is just to walk away or come back with more appropriate equipment, maybe even refer the call to someone else. Well, I hope somewhere in this discussion that you found an ace that you can keep. For Wreckmaster, I'm Casey Burns. See you in the ditch.